Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this cool episode of Transmissions, we are joined by Jay Bartlett as we discuss Big Firebird Toys Busty RC figure. We review new colored prototype images of Masterpiece Optimus Prime version 3 and Transformers War for Cybertron Siege Deluxe Wave 3 has been spotted in U.S. retail. Today is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019, and this is episode 331 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that isn't ashamed to admit that action figures are just very articulated dolls. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Now with Kung Fu Grip.
Whoa. Well, wait a minute. I recognize that voice. That's the guy who intros the show.
Yeah. Thanks for paying the bills this week, guys. I showed up.
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey. Let's talk Transformers.
All right, and tonight we have a special guest joining us from the... you might know him from Nintendo Quest, that documentary, if you have had the chance to see that. But he's also doing the upcoming Action Figures, the Most Powerful Toy in the Universe documentary. So he's here to talk all about Transformers toys. I think Star Wars is his first love, but he kind of likes Transformers too, so... Jay Bartlett, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be here. I love Transformers, and you guys sound like you're experts, so can't wait to get into it.
Awesome. So, yeah, you're gonna hang out with us, and we did record a special interview podcast with Jay to talk all about his upcoming documentary, so be on the lookout for that. It might already be up, or if not, it will be up in a few days. So we'll have links, and you'll be able to get access to that. Let's start off the show, as always, by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. You guys keep the show going. Thank you for your support. It really helps us continue to produce this show every week, and we really appreciate it. As always, if you are not already a Donatrion and would you like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And there you can find links on how to do that.
Feel free to create multiple accounts and give us more money. We're not going to hold that against you.
In fact, we will celebrate you for that.
That's right.
If you can't commit to giving to the show, on a monthly basis, you can still go to our merchandise store. Go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can buy some Transmissions Podcast themed shirts. Or anything from TeePublic. Our store is powered by TeePublic. And if you buy anything through our link, that will definitely help the show out and support the show. Also, you can support our friend of the show, K-Girl. She has her own store on TeePublic. She does all the artwork for our show, and we really love her art. And she's got some cool stuff there. So go to teepublic.com/user/superstarK. That's where you can find her stuff. All right, so enough with the ads and plugs. Let's get into talking about some Transformers. So we start off, as always, with toy news.
All right, and this week I am going to take us right into the gutter.
I begged him not to do it, but he insisted.
This week we saw the release of full color images of... the what turns out to be a brand new third-party company, Big Firebird Toys, their EX-01 Nice. And it is the their version of a RC. And it's I've dubbed it stripper RC or push-up bra RC. It's let me say the positives on it first, because I really like it. We talked about it before when it first came out, because it came out before the infamous breastplate add-on for the Fans Toys Rouge. But this RC its alt mode, its car mode is unbelievable. It looks remarkable. It is really cool. But then when it kind of explodes out into the RC figure, you get a whole bunch of really kibble looking pieces hanging off the back of the figure. And that, you know, we can live with that. It's not exactly kind of what we're used to. We're used to a little bit more, you know, solid chunks instead of like little draped pieces like a cape. But the part that really kind of sticks out, literally, are the two very, very perky breasts that they gave the RC figure, and the underwear, basically, that she's wearing. Now, I admit it's a very good figure. It looks very articulated, but the...
Don't hurt yourself, Daryl.
I'm trying to find the right words here, because I don't want to, you know, get myself in trouble. I gotta say, I'm gonna throw it over to you guys real quick, because it's, you know, I'm digging a big hole here. I don't understand the reasoning behind the push-up bra or the perky breasts on it. It's got to be an anime thing. I'm sure we're going to hear from Mikey or Andy over on Moonbase, but Charles, back me up here.
How exactly am I supposed to back you up on this?
By going into the gutter with
yep,
him.
Join me down here.
Yeah. So first of all, I think it isn't it nicey? I mean, isn't that the point? Isn't that the pun on the name?
Nice.
It's nice.
I guess that's the least objectionable thing about this, I guess. I mean, like, I mean, when we had the gray prototypes before, I think I said before, look, I'm not going to kink shame anyone. If you're into this, you're into this, that, you know, more power to you. If that's how you're, you know, if that's the way you swing, that's fine. But this is not for me. I do not need super sexualized robots. You know, it's just not something I'm interested in. I mean,
it's for the collector that has everything.
I mean, RC is not a sex object for me. I mean, she's a cool character. I like her in Transformers. I think she's had lots of cool versions in different Transformers media. I don't need her to be a sex object. If you need her to be a sex object, you can buy the toy. That's fine. I'm not interested, but...
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Yoshi, I don't know whether you were here for the last one, but let's get your opinion on this one. It's not fleshy boobs that they gave the other one. It's fully clothed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for all intents and purposes, it's a really cool looking figure. It's just they really enunciated the attributes of this one.
Borrowed lips. You've got 2 points of conversation happening here. Now let's focus on the toy spot first. I dig the face. These tires look rubber to me. And the alt mode, as you said, looks absolutely fantastic. So my question to you, sir, is do you have any experience with a new third-party company coming up like this, purchasing their figure, and can you say, like, half of them the quality is good, half of them the quality is shit, or 75% of them the quality is good and 25 is shit? Like, what hopes do we have that if we buy this for the alt mode to display that it's actually going to be a quality piece?
Well, I mean, out of my experience, I'd probably say it is more closer to 50-50, maybe 40-60 being 40 being good, 60 being bad, but it is close to, you know, half and half. And a lot of those companies, if they stick to it, they get better. So, you know, they just got to make it through that first figure or two. So, you know, I don't know anything about Big Firebird Toys. I don't know if they're, you know, a subsidiary of somebody else. They very well could be, and they might knock this out of the park as far as quality wise.
Which I think is an important topic.
It is. And that's make or break this company for them.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't know whether this aesthetic is indicative to another type of anime, right? So are they kind of mixing another anime in with Transformers to get this RC? That's something I'm not familiar with as a majority Transformers collector. So to look at this, and all I see is a very over-sexualized RC, whereas it could be an amalgam of two things, which if it is, okay, then that's kind of cool, where they're mixing multiple worlds and you're hitting two fandoms with one figure.
Sure. The shield kind of looks like a Autobot insignia too, a little bit.
Kind of.
So the horrendous back kibble, it doesn't seem like a stretch to think that could lay flat, but I'm also looking at the fact that she's practically walking around on non-existent stilettos, which kind of might make sense why the back kibble has to be that way to keep her balance.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, those are small ass feet,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we've talked about the good points where I like the face. I think the sculpt is really good. Possible rubber tires. Alt mode is fantastic. A question about build quality. Now, here's my take on the whole bikini bottoms, boobs thing. We're a bunch of fucking nerds, guys. Like, we buy comic books every week. Like, if you can't look at the new release this week shelf and see all the over-sexualization, I feel like we're kind of double-standarding this because it's Transformers. Like, this doesn't bother me. It's not something I would buy, but I feel like the uproar that I'm getting from you guys as far as what other people are saying is a little hypocritical. It doesn't bother me. This is a badass looking RC, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm also the crude one on the show, so you'd expect me to say that. Mm-hmm. But that's my two cents, and I'm taking way too much time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say that originally when we saw this figure, this was the worst that had been done. The week after this one, we saw the fleshy boobs add-on for the Fans Toys Rouge. And then this one wasn't even in the discussion anymore as to who was the most crudest thing that had ever been done to RC. So this, I mean, I don't care about the bikini bottoms. It doesn't even factor into my thought process. It's just a part of the coloring, the aesthetic. The individual or perky breasts on her is just something that seems a bit more than normal for this character, but that's on me. I do find the figure to be really poseable. It looks really cool. I like the alt mode. I like the look of it. It's just that one area that just kind of, it seems
two areas.
Yeah. Okay. It seems a little uncharacteristic for this figure. Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I pretty much, I think I'm echoing Charles. It's not for me. If it's for you, that's fine. I'm glad there's product for you to buy. It's just, you know, my RC doesn't need to look like that. I want my RC to look more like a robot and less human features. That's what I like that. Mm-hmm. But I will agree. The vehicle mode looks fantastic. I do worry though that it is more of a shell former where you see so many, like, you know, round pieces on, you know, like her waist and legs and everything. I'm afraid that the car parts just kind of cover all that up and make a car, you know, and that's also a point against it in my book. I would rather have a more intricate transformation, you know, where the, you know, like in the vehicle mode, you can see I think it's the legs, might be the arms, but you can see on the sides and the backside, actual just kind of like either arms or legs, I don't know which, but just laying flat there and the car is shelled around it. And
yeah, those are the legs.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but you know, if it's something that you want, you know, great. You know, I've no problems with it being in the market. This is definitely not as egregious as the add-on kit that, you know, you referenced before.
And the opinion that I really wanted to get to out of all of them, Jay, our guest, the one who's new to the whole market, I'm looking at you for someone completely out of the fandom, somebody outside of the whole market. When you look at this, what do you see, Jay?
It reminds me very much of what they tried to do with Princess Leia, where, you know, Jabba dresses her up as a slave, okay, and that's the way she looks. But throughout the years, there have been statues, busts, and all this kind of stuff that really over-sexualize Leia in that bikini. Everything I know of RC, she's a strong female Autobot. She's a warrior. That doesn't mean, you know, she can't be sexy, but I think this is, you know, they're getting their point across when one of the close-up pictures is her boobs, right? I mean, that's what they want you to see. That's what they're trying to sell you here. For me, you know, I agree with what Charles said. I've never heard that terminology before, kink shame. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that if that's okay. But
I don't own that, so feel free.
Okay. But I'm not going to kink shame anybody. I think, you know, in all of these fandoms, that, you know, Joe, Transformers, Ghostbusters, whatever, people will over-sexualize characters just because I think a lot of us spend so much time in that world. You know, naturally, sex comes into play. For me, I don't dig anything like this. I like the character as they're meant to be. If they're sexy right off the bat, like, say, Baroness from G.I. Joe, sure, that's great. But I don't need to see, like, a super sexy... Like, do they do this with, like do they have, like, a super buff Springer? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it's if you're into that kind of thing, man, you know, good for you, but it's not for me.
Yeah, just to respond, I mean, I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but to respond to what Yoshi said about maybe it's hypocritical, I mean, I think that at least for superheroes, I mean, they are like at least human characters. And if you're, you know, if you're a very fit woman wearing spandex, you're going to look sexy. I mean, with Transformers, they've always been robots. They're always, you know, male and female robots. They've never been like sex objects. They've always been robots, so I don't see a need to turn them into sex objects. But like I said, just because it's not for me doesn't mean other people won't enjoy it. And I mean, this is a third party company, so they can do whatever they want. So it is what it is. But yeah, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we said that enough times.
Yeah. Jeremy, what have you brought to the show this week?
Well, just as kind of a palate cleanser here, we have news from Hasbro of a job posting. There is a job posting of the Associate Global Brand Manager for Transformers. And the primary duties and responsibilities would be to assist in the management of multifaceted campaigns and entertainment content initiatives, partner with regional marketing teams, work with cross-functional teams to develop and execute marketing plans. I mean, essentially, this is more on the marketing side than the product development side. But, I mean, Yoshi, I'm seeing this is all you. You need to move to Rhode Island. So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really expect this to be a big discussion topic, but, you know, I saw this in the list and I'm like, we got to mention. I mean, I'm sure there's someone in the audience that is in marketing and, you know, would love to be an official part of, you know, the Transformers kind of creative team.
Well, let me ask you guys this real quick. Isn't the new Transformers Netflix show starting soon?
Yeah. What, next year, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that this would be a perfect opportunity to get into Hasbro, because Transformers is going to take off even further when that starts, right?
Yeah, I think the Netflix show, from everything we've heard so far, they are really serious about it. And I think it's with the worldwide nature of Netflix, I think it is going to really be a kickstart after the down years of the last few Bay movies.
Isn't Hasbro moving out of Providence, Rhode Island?
I've heard rumors, but you know, they haven't announced anything official.
Right.
I mean, this thing still says that, you know, it's in Rhode Island. So. Mm-hmm. If anyone's interested, we'll have the link in the show notes. But what I really wanted to talk about is Mark Watts was the illustrator on G1 for a lot of the package art and, you know, the space scenes and stuff. And he has an art studio, and he's launched a Kickstarter that is to turn his artwork into a coffee table or a desk table. And it's a pretty neat thing. It's basically just a foldable table, but it has, you know, his art on it. It's iconic. So you could either have it on the wall, or, you know, say you want to photograph toys and stuff, or, you know, do YouTube stuff. It'd be a great little thing for the toys to be sitting on. He's got a $9,000 goal, and unlike other crowdfunding things we've talked about, this is on Kickstarter, so you know it's reputable. If it's not funded, you don't have to pay. This has 24 days to go, and it's really awesome. If you want to get one, well, get $15 or more, you get a digital version of the Transformers art. $25 or more, and you get a signed Transformers print, 8.5 by 11. And that's limited to 200 backers. $80 or more, you get the signed print, or you get the 22 by 34 table art print, and you get the signed print from the previous level. $130 or more, and you get the actual table and the previous stuff. I'm sure when this comes out, after the Kickstarter, it'd be more than $130. But this, I think this looks really great. Jay, let's start with you, because in our interview, you actually mentioned the guy that did the G.I. Joe art, Hector, I can't remember his last name.
Hector Greedo, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I guess this is his Transformers counterpart. What do you think about this?
It's absolutely timeless looking. There's something, especially flipping over the box of the G1 stuff and seeing those painted dioramas. They're just absolutely gorgeous. And I would love to have this as a backdrop, you know, on any wall. I would love to have it on a table. I would put it on a shirt, man. I would wear it anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't see art like that anymore. You don't see packaging like that anymore. Most of the packaging now, I mean, the Siege stuff's actually pretty good on the sides. I'll give it that. But yeah. Most of the packaging now is just the blister bubble, and it's all figure. There's no art. So, man, yeah, I think this stuff should absolutely be hung everywhere.
Yoshi, are you going to jump in on this Kickstarter?
No. I think the art is amazing, and if I jump in on it, it would be for just the art prints. It wouldn't be for the table itself. It's gorgeous art. I would love to hang it. I'm not sold on the table aspect of it.
Yeah, and in here, the story that he gives here was his daughter lives in New York City, and he saw how small her apartment was, and came up with this idea to do,
yeah, you know, to save space. It's definitely for the minimalist or the IKEA furnished household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Charles, how about you?
I'm probably in the same boat as Yoshi. I love the art. It's awesome. I one question I have, and you know, I hope everything's settled, but I hope the licensing and everything is okay. I know he did the original art, but doesn't Hasbro still own it? So I hope he actually got permission and everything.
I think this art that he's using isn't actually the art that was on the packaging, but it's the same style. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if he would run into issues using like the insignias, but
that's where you're going to run into problems. Nowhere on right here looks like it says Transformers, and it doesn't have the Autobot or Decepticon symbol. So I think in that way, he drew it. So there's got to be something in his contract where he's allowed to display it, right?
Or right.
I would think anyway.
Yeah, at least the scene with Sunstreaker and Thundercracker does have the Decepticon symbols there. No, but I mean, this is cool. I don't know how if the coffee table really works, but I mean, I'm sure it works as a coffee table, but I wonder if I'd have a use for it like that. But
and if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can see some of the individual Transformer prints. Mm-hmm. They're full of 80s goodness. I love them.
Yep.
And some of the actual box art images, like the Minibots and Shockwave, those are the ones I'd go for.
Yeah, this is the art is, I mean, his art is really iconic. I mean, that's that are the, I mean, I think we talked about that big coffee table book that's coming out later this year that's going to have all the G1 box art collected. Mm-hmm. We'll have a lot of this art in there. And yeah, this is, I mean, when you think about the nostalgia of the original Transformers, that box art really stands out among all the toy packaging of that time.
Yeah, and definitely.
It's really iconic and just really, you know, it's really stuck in my brain from when I was a kid and saw those packages on the shelves.
Well, the thing that was great about Transformers back then that mirrored G.I. Joe was that you got so much information. You flip over and Transformers had the file card like G.I. Joe did. Mm-hmm. So it had a quote from the Transformer, and then it had, you know, their strengths, their intelligence, and you could really gauge what kind of a Autobot or Decepticon they were. Same with the Joe stuff. They went into great detail. So it really, back then, it was really great at world building, if you know what I mean. Like, it was expanding on that character. Yeah. And you don't see a lot of that today. And, you know, in Transformers and Star Wars, there's a couple lines, but they don't go in depth anymore.
Well, Daryl, what about you?
Oh, I think it's really cool. I have given this a little bit of thought. Not because I need a table, just because it's just gorgeous, and I'd almost rather use it as like an art picture.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because one of the prints he's offering is Jetfires, and that's the guy.
That's yours.
he's awesome, and that's just a gorgeous print too, right?
Yeah,
it is iconic art, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, we should try to contact this guy, see if we can get him to come on to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything I got. Yoshi, what do you have this week?
Sure. We have got ourselves some new prototype colored images of Masterpiece Optimus Prime version 3 MP44. And this guy is looking very cartoonish in his coloring. I'm seeing a couple of things that I'm going to ask some questions about, but I want to go to Jay first. Since you and I are G1 fanatics here. Are you familiar with the Masterpiece line?
Oh, absolutely. My buddy here in town, he's a huge Transformers fan, so I've got to admire quite a bit of, I think he has Grimlock and Soundwave, and they're just gorgeous pieces.
Mm-hmm. So what's your gut reaction to this this version 3 Optimus Prime?
The first thing I notice, I believe that's Spike and Spark Plug in the one picture. I believe
to me that looks like Spark Plug and Carly. Mm-hmm.
There you go. I love the power axe from the iconic dam fight, and the jetpack as well. So they've really added a lot of really cool things. And again, I don't know if a lot of primes over the years have had these little accessories, but giving a Transformer accessories, I think, is something that's very cool and was missing in a lot of the G1 stuff. So it looks like this is a love letter to G1 cartoon fans for sure.
It certainly is. Charles, there are some things here that haven't been in previous Masterpiece Optimus Prime releases that will piss off any fan who wants to be a completist. How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. I mean, I think there's been enough separation between the previous Master, you know, MP10, of course, is the gold standard Optimus Prime currently, and they've done dozens of reissues of that MP10 figure. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one does. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Carly and Spark Plug figures. The animation model that is very accurate to the animation model. But I think the compromise there is that you've got and we talked about this on the show before when we saw the inner workings of the transformation, how they have, he basically has two sets of grills. He has two sets of chest windows. And the transformation is very complex. So, I mean, that's the trade-off you're making. But I do agree that the accessories are very cool. Like having that rocket pack from the first, the first three episodes of the series, he actually borrowed it from Sideswipe in the cartoon. So that's a very cool detail.
Didn't he order Sideswipe to hand it over?
Yeah, yeah.
Did Sideswipe ever get it back?
Never.
Well, I mean, it was destroyed, right? He was shot down, and that was it, right? But yeah, I mean, and the Matrix, of course, that having that the energy axe, the multiple heads, the damaged head from the movie. It's very cool to have all those accessories. I do feel like the price point might be a prohibitive factor for people, and also the fact
might.
That and that it's the third Optimus Prime mold, and people have probably already gotten the other two. So yeah, I mean, if you're a completionist, I guess you're compelled to get it. For me, I am not a completionist, so I probably will not be picking this one up. But it is a very cool figure, so I hope people are happy with it.
I really want the spark plug in Carly, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm literally looking over to my MP10, and I'm kind of shocked that it appears that the cab is a complete new mold. Not the cab, the trailer.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, it's they had to redo everything. They had to, they had to do something for that price point, right?
Yeah.
Myself, I'm probably sitting this one out, at least for the first little bit. This is a spicy meatball, It's I know that they kind of price matched a little bit recently to kind of bring the retail price down, but it's tough, This is a heavy pill to swallow. It's upwards of almost $400 still, US, so
yeah.
It's a little ridiculous. But it looks good. I do know that I'm looking at these pictures here. The accessories that are coming with it seem like there should be more. There's a lot, but there still seems like there should be more for that price. I'm looking at the picture of him in his tractor trailer mode, and the front windows don't seem to be coming together all that well. So I'm looking at that thinking, okay, well, do they get it right? Who's transforming this thing at the show? Maybe it just doesn't work. There's a lot of questions here, but I'm sure that those all will be answered. I look at the box. The box looks like a standard Masterpiece box, but it doesn't look that much bigger than a lot of other things, So I don't know. It's that price point, I expect to be getting some amazing stuff for that price point. And right now, when I look at it, I mean, he looks G1. The face sculpt is very G1, but I don't. Right now, I don't see the quality or the cost per figure value. I don't feel it. It's not even. Also, he looks like he's got way too much leg. There's legs. The legs seem way too long.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's just first impression, though.
You know how proportions were in the G1 show.
Yes, that's true.
So, Jeremy, are you going to be dad of the year and get this for your kid for Christmas?
For a 5-year-old? No.
No.
He does not rank $400 toys at this point.
Okay. Well, what are your takes on this beast?
I mean, I like it more than I thought I would. Although, I mean, so many things, like Daryl said, could have been done better. Although, I mean, some of it, I'm sure, is just the marketing people that transformed it at the show, because they never look good.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, particularly look at his feet. Are there ankle tilts? It doesn't really look like it, and that's kind of expected these days in any kind of toy. His shoulders, if you look at the image that's where you're looking at his chest and you can kind of see his left arm, you can see the whole ball joint right there. It's not hidden at all. I mean, things like that, I expect a Masterpiece toy to not have visible. Especially if you're going for cartoon accuracy, it needs to be just a big block. So,
well, if we're gonna pick on that particular joint, I'd say that's leaps and bounds an improvement over MP10.
It's fine. I'm just not. Yeah, I'm kind of expecting more for a $400 toy. I do like that, a lot of the accessories. It looks like one of the things is like a panel you can replace where he was stabbed by Megatron in the movie fight that would go along with the beat-up head.
Right.
I think that's really cool. I like the blast, like the energy blast accessories. The colors on the thing look fantastic. It, you know, if you're matching the show's colors, although his kind of belt looks like is chipped, but that's probably just this particular.
Yeah, figure. If you look at the box art, it's not like that. So I assume that's just has to do with the prototype painting.
Right. But when you look at like the colors on the in vehicle mode, it's perfect. So a lot of things I like about it, but I don't know. I'm just for $400, I'm expecting a bit more. But I'm sure that they're going to sell out. I'm sure there's a number of people that will just go crazy for it.
Well, for $400, Sparkplug's got a gut swivel, I noticed. So that's cool.
Yeah. It looks like you'll be able to like bend their legs to fit them in the cab.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That's what I've got. Charles, what are you going to bring us home with, sir?
As I mentioned in the intro, action figures are dolls. So the Yokohama the Yokohama Doll Museum in Japan has a Transformers 35th anniversary exhibition. And I think we mentioned this earlier on the show that this was coming up, but now it is here. And so one of the members of the on TFW 2005 Auto Base this is a Facebook page, Auto Base Aichi. They have a bunch of pictures on their Facebook page, and they have been posted also to TFW 2005. So you can see their gallery on their directly on their Facebook page, or some selected images on TFW. And it's just I think it's just a really nice assortment of stuff all throughout the Transformers 35 year history. In particular, I like they have some displays where they show a figure and they show the different phases of transformation. So they have like four figures set up where you can see the figure transforming, going from car to robot and back. In particular, there's one with Jazz where they have four Jazz toys posed so that it's you know he's in the process of transforming. They do that with a Masterpiece Ratchet as well. There's another one with the new Siege Jetfire. So that's a very new toy. That's the new Jetfire that's coming out in just a few months. And that's
it's a much bigger display.
Yeah. and then you've got the Sea Spray right there next to him to contrast with the very tiny Legends class figure. So this is really, and then you've got, you've got some of the old G1 toys. There's the original Gun Megatron there. You've got a bunch of the cassette tapes, just a really nice combiners, and then the City Bots. It's just a really cool display here. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff you get in Japan that unfortunately we don't get to see much of in North America. I know we had that one museum, I think it was in Indiana, that had a Transformers exhibit a couple of years ago. But I think this is on a whole nother level in Japan. So it's really cool. Jay, taking a look at this, is this something you'd like to get a road trip to? I know there's no road from here to Yokohama, but would you like to get a chance to see this?
Yeah, it's cool. I really, really like the Ratchet, the three Ratchets transforming. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm a huge fan of the Luger Megatron. It's a shame that they had to change him into a tank and various other things. But yeah, I mean, this is cool. I think we need more of this stuff. I agree. In North America here, you know, we need a He-Man museum and a G.I. Joe museum and Transformers and all the great stuff that we grew up with, because this stuff is art, right? And I think it needs to be shown off and preserved. So
yeah, definitely. All right. Yoshi, is this tickling your G1 sensibilities?
Sure it is. I can just see a bunch of kids standing in front of the displays where you're seeing them transform, just making the sound, just going. Well done, Jeremy.
Welcome. Awesome, Daryl. Are you? Have you bought your plane tickets?
No. this is so cool. I like the transformation ones. Those are really awesome. Yeah, these are so neat. to have multiple figures of this, like multiple copies of the same figure, just to have them posed in a way that it looks like they're transforming. That's a really cool idea. And if I could, you know, if I could pick one out of my collection to kind of say, you know what, this is going to be it. And it's not going to be too expensive because it's like a modern figure and I can get, you know, three or four copies of the same thing for a relatively cheap price. Yeah, I'd consider doing that. That's a really cool way to pose something in a display cabinet.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's something, it's amazing that, I mean, I'm sure it's been done before, but just we haven't really, we don't really see people doing this very often. But I guess it does, if you have to have dedication because you have to buy like four or five of the same figure. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen it done this well before.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I would love to go and see this. I mean, I saw a YouTube channel I follow found this like toy museum. I think it's like in Nevada or Arizona or something. Just kind of like in the middle of nowhere, this huge toy museum that just had rooms and rooms. Like, you know, there was like a big Transformers display, a big G.I. Joe display, Star Wars had a whole room. And I just wish there was something like that, you know, in a more well-known area where it was easier to get to, because this type of stuff, I would love to go, and especially, you know, with a small kid, just, you know, see it through his eyes. That would just be amazing.
All right. Well, normally this is where we would end the toy topic section of the show. But since we do have a guest here and we are very kind to our guests, Jay had brought in, wanted to have another topic discussion here. And, you know, we normally save our comics and media stuff for our other show. But since Jay is a guest, we are going to invite Jay to lead a discussion on something that's very near and dear to our hearts, the 1986 Transformers movie. I think it's an awesome, you know, topic. It's something we all love. So Jay, I'm gonna throw it over to you, and you can lead us wherever you'd like to go, whatever you'd like to talk about it. Let us know.
Awesome. Are you guys familiar with the 1987 G.I. Joe movie?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
The best intro in animated movie history.
Okay, so, and I would agree. I'm just kind of curious what you guys think. I'm not going to moderate this. Charles, you can moderate it. I'm just throwing the question out there. There was obviously huge controversy, not within the comic, but within the TV show. Everyone shoots everybody in Transformers, but nobody actually gets hit hardly, or let alone dies, right? And then, of course, in the film, most of the old Autobots and Decepticons get wiped out. And I just remember the backlash to the media, and it was so violent, and they killed Optimus Prime, and it was disgusting. And then they say shit in the movie and all this stuff. And then the G.I. Joe movie comes out, and because of the backlash of what happened with Optimus Prime, originally Duke was supposed to die. The G.I. Joe commander was supposed to die. And they throw in a line at the end there and say, you know, hey, guys, Duke's going to be okay. He's just in a coma. I'm wondering what you guys think about that particular choice they made with the G.I. Joe movie because of the backlash with Transformers. Do you agree that was a smart move, or do you think they should have just not listened to the fans and the backlash and gone with the original vision where Duke was dead?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, I think, at least as at the time when I was a kid, Optimus Prime dying was not, I was, you know, it was not something that I loved, but the, you know, the story moving forward and having a whole new cast of characters, I think that was healthy for the Transformers and the Transformers story. I mean, particularly the cartoon continued the story forward. It had a time skip where it jumped into the future 20 or 21 years. You know, you had all that, all those interesting stories. But yeah, I mean, I can see how, you know, and of course parents were upset about the kind of, I guess, going from G to PG, content in the Transformers movie. I know in particular, my dad wouldn't let me go see the movie the first weekend it came out because he had to go see it first because he had heard bad things about it. So that actually upset me because I didn't get to see the movie, you know, right when it came out.
But you did get to see it, right?
I did get to see it.
I have a copy if you'd like to borrow it, Charles.
I have several copies in several formats at this point. I don't think they should have changed it for the G.I. Joe movie. I mean, I think from a business sense, yeah, the movie, I guess the Transformers movie flopped. So they moved the G.I. Joe movie to go to be on TV and to video instead of get theatrical release. But, I mean, I don't know. I think you need to give kids more credit. I mean, I know in the 80s you had a lot of things where you couldn't have like any mention of death or dying in children's cartoons. I mean, that's something that they had a like standards and practices was very strict on. But later in the 90s, when you had like Batman, the animated Batman series, you had characters die, like the Joker killed people in the Batman comic or Batman cartoon.
Right.
And, you know, it was a well done cartoon and there was no controversy there. I mean, I guess people were less,
different media rules.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was a mistake. I mean, I think actually Optimus Prime dying in Transformers strengthened the brand and strengthened the cartoon and the comics. And they're more well remembered now because of that. I mean, everyone who's an adult who loves Transformers can always talk about, you know, was alive during that time. What did you feel when Optimus Prime died? That's really a big touchstone for everyone. And he was, it's a little bit easier for robots because you can bring them back to life more easily. I mean, you can bring people back to life too. Comics does it all the time. I think it was a bold narrative choice. And I think they, they should have had that same courage for G.I. Joe, but I can see why they didn't after, at least for the commercial success. But
if I may, one of the things I think that is really overlooked with that particular scene, and this is just my opinion, the way they wrote that story is so untraditional. And what I mean by that is Prime is dying. He's going to pass off the Matrix to Ultra Magnus, you know, who is the Duke character, the next in line, the sergeant, you know, it makes perfect sense. But then, you know, it falls and Hot Rod, who I think is by far the best character in all of Transformers, grabs it. And because of Prime dying and because of that little bit happening, you get to see Hot Rod transform, you know, the classic Luke Skywalker tale, right? The hero who's not supposed to be a hero becomes mm-hmm. the ultimate hero and saves the day. And I think, I was bummed when Prime died, but after I see him become Rodimus Prime, I watch that part to this day and I still get tears in my eyes because you hear Optimus in the background and you see Hot Rod grow into Rodimus Prime and he just kicks the shit out of Galvatron. And you kind of forget about, you don't forget about Prime dying, but him dying, it's okay because he's still with us with the Matrix. You know what I mean? He's still with us with Hot Rod. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I think they missed the mark with the G.I. Joe movie. I think if they'd taken Duke out, it would have made Lieutenant Falcon, who is arguably the Hot Rod character in the G.I. Joe movie, it would have made his character flesh out way better, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, it's very much a Star Wars-esque here. I mean, in Star Wars, would you keep Obi-Wan alive? I mean, it's the same thing, I think. Yeah. You know, the whole point was passing the torch. And I mean, even in the third season of the cartoon, you had Hot Rod or Rodimus Prime dealing with the burden of carrying on Optimus Prime's legacy. And you got some really good story beats out of that. So
yeah, I mean, that might have been one of the more bolder things where, you know, it's not just like, okay, I'm the new leader and everything is, you know, great. You know, how many kids shows have it like, yeah, being the leader is actually really tough. You know, Optimus had been the leader for a long time, so he was used to a lot of the things that Hot Rod was experiencing for the first time.
Well, I'm going to throw it over to Yoshi. Oh, Yoshi, what are your thoughts on this?
Hot Rod can eat a dick.
Not a Hot Rod fan.
I think it's a product of, you know, we were kids. I wasn't ready to let Optimus Prime go. I didn't feel like they had told enough stories. There's certainly enough room in the mythos for more Optimus Prime stories. They fucking skipped, what, 15, 20 years? I mean, there's plenty of room for stuff. We just weren't ready to go. And to get at the root of your question, should they have killed Duke? I don't think they should, because, yeah, they killed Prime in the movie. And just to be sure, just so everyone was on the same page, they then killed him again in season 3. And Hasbro was like, yeah, that was a bad idea. We need to fix this fucking movie. I think as adults, I mean, is this kind of like Ned Stark dying at the end of season 1 of Game of Thrones? Like, as adults, we're like, whoa,
spoilers.
I have not finished episode 1 of Game of Thrones.
It's been 10 years, Jeremy.
I'm not going to watch any other.
Interject here, and I think the big difference between Prime and Megatron, as much as I love G.I. Joe, Duke and Serpentor fighting is not even on the same planet of being iconic as Prime and Megatron, right? Prime and Megatron is the ultimate rivalry. And I think it's the first time, like you said, as when we were kids, you don't just see them fight and they're punching each other. They're being ripped apart. Like, you know, Prime gets stuff thrown at him, he gets cut, you know, he's cracked. And that was really damaging to me as a kid, because that you never saw stuff like that. And, you know, there's all the lubricant coming out of their mouth and stuff like that. It was just like, whoa, like, this is serious. This is a serious fight.
I'm treading lightly here. We have seen Marvel Cinematic Movie character deaths that haven't affected me as much as Prime dying. I don't know if Ned Stark has affected me that much, but in all of those cases, one thing remains, like, I could still go for more movies or more stories about these characters. Like, I don't, at some point, I mean, Hasbro did this to sell more toys. Whereas when you're a kid, you're like, Optimus Prime's always going to be on the shelf. Oh God, no, he's not. You know, it's the first time you realize that perception of reality got shattered. I'm not doing a good job answering this, Charles.
Keep going. Talk it through.
Optimus Prime was always on the shelves, just so you know. He never left the shelves. I'll take over, though.
Not this incarnation. Yeah, take over, but not that incarnation.
But I've never seen the G.I. Joe movie. I'm aware of what transpired. I'm aware of what was supposed to transpire. Personally, I'm of the mind of what Charles was saying, is that a lot of the reason why we remember that the G1 Transformers movie so fondly is because of what happened, right? It affected a lot of us to the point of which a lot of us, when we were children, saw it and cried, right?
Because
we
were young. Shared trauma.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we remember it because it affected us deeply. The G.I. Joe movie was it was not a similar thing. If they had done that, if they had made, you know, Duke die in a way that, you know, he actually, it meant something to the story, you know, and they took him out of the show for half a season, right? Before bringing him back in some other way, similar to Transformers. Yeah. That likely would have done something more for the toy line at the time. You know, it would have caused some outrage, because guess what? It did for the Transformers. Would we still see the same thing that's happened with G.I. Joe today as what would happen at the time, or what would have happened because of the change at the time? I don't know. It's tough to say, because G.I. Joe in 2019 is in a really tough spot, right? Maybe because, you know, is it because the movie, you know, was changed? I don't want to blame it on one thing, but, you know, a lot of old fans of Transformers, they go back to that 86 movie as their touchstone, as a reason why they're still in the fandom. Both G.I. Joe and Transformers had an 80s cartoon, right? They both had an 80s toy line. A lot of them had a toy line that continued on. G.I. Joe continued on in North America past Transformers. It kept going, right? But for whatever reason, Transformers continued on after G.I. Joe started to slip. You know, they both got Michael Bay-esque movies. Transformers was actually Michael Bay, right? But, you know, sure, the live-action movies for G.I. Joe started to, were not great. Neither were Transformers, but for whatever reason,
I would wager they're better than Transformers.
There's a good chance, yeah. But for some reason, that just wasn't enough to rejuvenate the fandom of G.I. Joe. And here we are in 2019, and the G.I. Joe fandom's on life support. You know, you can't find G.I. Joe toys in the stores anymore because they aren't making any. It's sad. You know, for that particular fandom, which is a really powerful and very proud fandom. You know, I feel for the guys, I really do, because it's something that was part and parcel with Transformers. They shared, they were essentially in the same universe. You know, they shared the comic book universe at the time, and they had we all assumed they were in the cartoon universe because everything looked the same. Yeah, it's interesting. I often think about that because there was such an uproar about the Transformers movie that the G.I. Joe movie was changed so erratically at the last minute. It could have changed it at the time for the worse.
The funny thing about that is that the G.I. Joe movie killed. That was the end of the Sunbow run. The movie tanked so bad. The Transformers animated movie was deemed a failure.
Yes.
But because of the bold choices they made for the film and with the story, us guys go back and look at it. It's a masterpiece. Now you go to the G.I. Joe movie, which, you know, mirrors it. The choices they made were safe. And it killed G.I. Joe so bad that the Sunbow cartoon was canceled. And we didn't see it till 89 again with the Deke series. But, I mean, they destroyed the timeline for G.I. Joe with that movie. It's an abomination. I don't know what they did to Cobra Commander. He turned into a snake. Duke died but didn't really die. It was just a complete mess. The Transformers movie, they killed off all the guys that we loved, of course. But looking back at that now, I just think that was such a kick-ass move. I mean, who does that?
Oh, it was ballsy.
It's legendary, man. Like,
you know, it probably, if you were a fly in the wall of the guys making the decision, it was all business. They had no thought as to what was going to transpire as far as the toy sales, you know, or the cartoon went. They're just like, okay, Optimus is out, Rodimus is in. It's a straight swap. We're going to kill him off in the movie and it'll continue on like nothing happened.
Yeah, right? They had no idea that the connection that the
no
kids
idea
had with the characters.
And let me clarify, I think Optimus Prime is by far the best leader, not Rodimus Prime. I'm just a big Hot Rod fan because I love the hero that's not supposed to be the hero story. So,
all right. Well, so what do you think of the movie so far? Not so far, but as a whole, the Transformers movie. You got Unicron, the introduction to Unicron, the battle, the within seven minutes, the G1 cast is gone. And then you're introduced to a whole new cast of characters that you've never seen before. Some of them are leftovers, but most of them are, you know, who the hell are these people? And within 15 minutes, you're into something that is completely new to you. That, to me, is insane. An absolute insanity at the time. But and sure, it tanked at the theater and didn't produce the way they wanted it to. But to me, I look at that and I think that is genius, the way that they drew it, because they had an edict from Hasbro saying, we need you to get rid of these characters and introduce all these like they did in the comic books. The way that Nelson Shin put the movie together, and the way that Flint Dilley and Ron Friedman wrote the scripts up, they did a fantastic job of putting that movie together and just working with what they had. I watch that movie and at least once a year, and it's one of my favorite movies, obviously for biased reasons, but I like watching it because of the amount of action that it does at the beginning, amount of action at the end, and you really don't see that kind of a U-shaped bell curve in a movie where it's like boom at the beginning and you know, obviously a lot of movies end with a big, you know, apex, but a lot of them don't start with an apex. So
I think one of the brilliant things they did in that movie was the time jump. We all knew that there was a ton of Transformers on Cybertron still. So as a kid, you know, when you hear it's the year 2005 and you see Cup and you see Hot Rod and Springer and RC, you're like, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, oh, cool. It makes sense. You know, it's years later. Of course, there's going to be, you know, that the Autobots have Cybertron. They have Earth under control. So it makes sense. I didn't think anything twice about it. I thought it was really cool.
Right. Well, yeah, we can probably move on if you want, Charles.
I would like to plug our friends at the Autopod Decepticast, who are going through the G.I. Joe movie right now. They did a minute-by-minute coverage of the 86 Transformers movie, and now that that's done, they're going through the G.I. Joe animated movie. And, you know, just if you are interested in the movie, they're a trip. Give them a you know, check them out.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for taking us down that trip down memory lane, Jay. It's always nice to reminisce about the 86 movie. And it was an interesting spin to talk about and then compare that to the G.I. Joe movie. So thanks.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Before we head on the trips to the store, I do want to just give a quick mention because for all our toy hunters out there who are looking for the War for Cybertron Siege line, their Deluxe Wave 3 has been spotted in the U.S. So if it's been spotted in Dayton, Ohio, in a Myers. So we've seen we have photographic evidence of Reflector or Refractor, as he's called now, Red Alert and Brunt. So if you are on the lookout for those figures, they're out there. I need three Reflectors, so I'm going to be hunting for these guys. But yeah, I think it's important just to for anyone who's trying to hunt down the Siege line, they're out there. So go, Wave 3 is a go.
What store are they in Canada, Charles?
Heroes in London, Ontario.
Oh,
that's good.
Well, you'd know better than me, Daryl.
They are not in Canada yet. This does not pertain to any Canadians nor anyone else not in America.
You can just go to your Toys R Us and cry, okay?
That's true. I will to my two Toys R Uses in town.
I guess it's fortunate that the majority of our listeners are American. So this is maybe they don't all live in Dayton, Ohio, but maybe they can get there.
You guys always get the newer waves first, and we get the months later. I see everybody on all the forums with their pictures of Starscream, and I still only have Optimus Prime and Megatron. So that's
all right. So now we're going to move on to our trips to the store. And this is where we show off all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video, so you will see this on YouTube. But we'll have the audio right here in the podcast. You can keep listening, and we will describe our purchases in loving detail. But you should really check out that YouTube video. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can check it out on our Transmissions Podcast YouTube channel and see everything in beautiful high definition. So without further ado, trips to the store. So let's get into the stuff we got this week. And Yoshi's he's been on hiatus for a little while, so we're going to bring him back and on assignment. That's right. So Yoshi, start us off. What do you got this week?
Well, Jay, you're the guest here. Are you aware of who CGC is?
I don't believe I am.
All right. In the comics world, these guys are the peak of grading and casing your comic books.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
They're also the guys you go to for authenticating a signature on a comic book. Now, as the rest of you guys know, I was at Emerald City Comic Con where Alex Milne was there. And I had a copy of our Transformers exclusive cover. And so I went up to the CGC booth to figure out what was involved in witnessing a signature. And it wasn't a lot. I was able to just sign the book and get it authenticated. So I have my signature is right there. Now I'm in the system. And it's a 9.8. This was such a shit copy. I was not expecting it to come back 9.8. So, yeah.
That is cool, man.
That just came in the mail the other day.
It's awesome.
Very nice.
Yes. Next.
All right, Jay, we're gonna come to you.
So I am a collector of many action figures, the Big Five, Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Masters of the Universe, and some Turtles. My latest Transformers, although it was not this week, it was a couple weeks ago, would be the 2014, if I can point that there, Jetfire. Jetfire has always been right here for me. I can't tell you why, other than he looks absolutely incredible. And, yeah, I got him at Heroes. Heroes had a really cool sale, right, Daryl? And I picked him up. And, for pretty cheap, I always wanted this one. I have his Valkyrie helmet upstairs. But that's Jetfire, so that's my latest pickup. I love this figure. It's just so cool, man.
I think I priced that one.
Are you planning to pick up that new Jetfire from the Siege line that's coming out later this year?
Oh, 100%.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the whole Siege line. I think they're terrific, terrific figures. So for sure.
All right. I'll go next, and I have a little guy. So I got to Walmart and I picked up a G1 reissue. This is Minibot Swerve. So, I saw him, I honestly wasn't going to get him, but then when I saw him, so he was packaged not as a car. I have him here in car mode, but he's packaged as in his robot form, of course. And when I saw him and I looked at his face, like you can see the face, I thought, wow, did they retool the face just to make him look like the More Than Meets the Eye character? But then when I looked on the I did buy it because I thought that, but then I looked him up on TFU.info and the TF Wiki, and no, this is actually the based on the Encore Japanese reissue from a few years ago, and it just coincidentally happens to look a lot like his picture in the comic, which is probably not a coincidence. It probably was based on that, but so that's fine. But that's cool. It's a G1 reissue. My first Walmart G1 reissue that I picked up. I missed out on all the other ones. They did have a ton of the Optimus Primes there, but it's Optimus Prime without the trailer for $50. No, thank you. So I didn't pick that up, but it is cool. You know, he comes on a card. He comes with the tech specs. So that's cool.
I saw someone on Facebook that had done like an inflation, you know, calculation for what those guys cost in the 80s and what Walmart's selling them for, and it's about the same cost.
Yeah, but for Optimus Prime, he's missing the trailer.
Well,
so
I'm talking about the Minibots.
Oh, for the Minibots. Okay. It was
$7?
Yeah, I think it was a little more. I think it was close to 10. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. But I bought him. I love him.
You get that Pennsylvania sales tax.
I can still pretend he's from the More Than Meets the Eye Swerve too. So I actually have the More Than Meets the Eye Swerve bot too. He's got the rub sign is I thought the rub sign was like misstickered. It's sideways, but actually on the G1 figure it's sideways too. So I guess it's true to form.
You mean it's swerve.
But yeah. All right. So I'm going to throw it over to Jeremy. What did you get?
There you go. Well, I showed this off a few weeks ago, and it was in a box. And now it is out of the box and off of all the sprues. And I have put together my Flame Toys IDW-styled Optimus Prime.
Ooh.
And
oh, very
it,
cool.
It took me between yesterday and today, it took me probably about 5-6 hours total. And numerous cuts from I had to use a box cutter to like clean off where this thing were connected. And I really like this guy. He is incredibly poseable. You know, you've got joints everywhere. It's got three different hands. You have this kind of open hand, it has a fist, and then it has a hand specifically made to hold the gun. So the gun doesn't come off without taking the hand off. But you can do all sorts of poses. You've got, you know, joints at the hip, joints at the knee. It's got ankle tilts because this is a toy. This is great. I put all the stickers on except for there's two stickers on like either side of his face that were just too small, and even with tweezers, I couldn't get them in. But my only issue with it is since I've never done Gundams and stuff, so I didn't have all the tools I actually needed. There were parts where it said you should really glue these parts together, and since I don't have the glue, I didn't do it. And if I do manipulate the joints and stuff, pieces do kind of start spreading back open. So I might need to come back with some glue on some parts just to kind of keep them. Like if you see the back elbow here, it's starting to spread, and I just need to squeeze it back together. So other than that, I mean, for a non-transforming figure, this is great. Building it from a model kit, I didn't know what to expect, and I had a lot of fun putting it together.
For a figure that almost literally killed you, yeah. I'm glad you're happy.
Well, the figure didn't kill me. The box cutter is what almost killed me. So, yeah.
That's cool. But,
yeah, this guy, I mean, and I, the plastic was already colored. It's just it's got stickers to help, and then windows are translucent. The eyes are the translucent plastic. Yeah, this thing is great. If you're on the fence about getting these Flame Toys model kits, for $35, it's not bad.
All right, Daryl, you can bring us home. What do you got this week?
After multiple weeks of having new stuff and, basically owning this category for us and just, being the one who just cleans up for us all.
Also the one who doesn't have his signature authenticated
that's
on
okay
a comic
with
book
me.
Yet.
I don't have an ego.
the humblest one
right.
on the podcast.
The most humble. Just ask me about it. I've shown this off before. This is my pretender Grimlock. He's complete. He's really cool, and I just wanted to highlight some of the funkier stuff that G1 did. Inside, you do get the most anatomically correct Tyrannosaurus Rex there has ever been. They're a fun little gimmicky thing that Transformers did in the late 80s that really weren't, the best, but as looking back as a collector now, they are some of the funnest because they're just so bonkers. Yeah, I do like it. It's fun. The tail comes off completely as a gun, and you just transform him very, very simply. It's not completely dissimilar from the original G1, but it's a little different. But then he's done, just like that. So. It's Pretender Grimlock, not a new figure, something I've had for a while, but they're fun, and it's something I have that's complete.
Well, you didn't make the noise. Come on, the transforming noise.
There you go. He's about to. Hey.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Trips to the Store. All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Podcast. Again, we want to thank our special guest, Jay Bartlett, for joining us on the show. Want to remind you to check out our special interview podcast where we talk all about his upcoming action figure documentary. And Jay, why don't you tell everyone where they can hit you up on social media and get more information
Thanks,
about
Charles.
That?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. On Facebook, you can check us out at Action Figure Documentary. You can find me on Facebook, just Jay Bartlett. I am the long-haired guy holding the picture of the G.I. Joe vamp. On Twitter, I am JayBartlett75. Any comments or feedback or suggestions, guys, Robin, myself, always listen, and we always write back. So please give us a shout. And as always, we do appreciate your support. And thanks to this lovely Transformer show, it's definitely the best one I've been on.
Are we the only one you've been on?
Yes.
We'll still take it.
We still thank you for the compliment. All right, we will have links in the show notes as well, so you know, just go to our website and you can get links to everything. Also, check out Jay's previous documentary, Nintendo Quest, which is all about collecting all of the original Nintendo Entertainment System games. I'm gonna definitely watch that right after we finish recording here, and so that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Awesome.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Let me know if you guys can hear us. And wait 30 seconds for them to...
Also, let us know if you can't hear us.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful.
Oh, yes, they will. Yeah, Yoshi's the guest.
Oh, that intro hurts me. Oh. Don't ever do that again, Jeremy.
You don't want me to try to figure out what the echo is?
Yeah, it's whatever you clicked before DJ Ronan started bitching.
Uh-oh.
Jeremy's like, that kind of makes sense. What did I click?